Treasury Secretary and another lieutenant in the Army called Obama, the National Economic Council Director, both sidestepped the question of taxes going up as part of what's happening with the economy. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It's not all going to be doom and gloom on this hour of ATN, but we're also going to talk about Gitmo could be heading to Leavenworth, Kansas. What do I mean by that? Well, some of the detainees, they're taking a hard look at Leavenworth as the place to land those folks and get them off the island. Wonder how the people in Kansas feel about that. The beer party aftermath on the minds of many on the Sunday talk show circuit, and there were all kinds of editorials written in the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, any newspaper that you could possibly imagine that's still operating anyway. So we're going to jump into that fray. Plus Shark Week. Oh, I got to tell you, I got to think about the Shark Week deal. I've been watching it for a couple of years now on the Discovery Channel. And they started off with blood in the water. Yeah. It's about the very first shark attack ever, 1916. Did you know this? Here's some water cooler buzz. Yeah, it happened in 1916. The first guy was attacked by a shark, Charles Van Stamp. And it wasn't a pretty reenactment on the Discovery Channel. Funny People, number one at the box office. But how much did it really bring in? We'll tell you about that. And we have some other odds and ends as well. Plus the etiquette of texting. Yeah. Miss Manners, a modern-day Miss Manners, is going to join us. And we're going to jaw about when you should and should not text. But first, let's jump back into the Beer Summit fray. As I said, every comedian, every person with a pen and an editorial thought whip something up on, did it mean anything? Does it open up race discussions, etc.? And here was what two guests had to say on Meet the Press. I thought they were pretty good. Two former congressmen. One is former Congressman Ford. The other is former Congressman J.C. Watts. And listen carefully to what they both say about how Obama handled it and, of course, the aftermath.
I think he feels strongly about those issues, but I think he probably regrets saying it like he said at the press conference and distracted from the health care conversation. But he made the very best of it, brought all four, brought the two of them to the White House. Their families toured the White House at a minimum. Sergeant Crowley and Professor Gates both got to see parts of the White House they probably had never seen, and their kids as well. But it's time to move on. This president was elected not to be the first black president, the first African-American president, the first whatever. People elected him because they wanted a better job. They wanted health care coverage. They wanted us out of these wars, and they wanted America to be put on a safer and secure, more sustained course. So
it's very difficult for political people to talk about the issue of race. And that's very sad. That's unfortunate. I do believe the president wants to talk about the issue. I think he mishandled the Crawley situation, and he, you know, said at the outset, I don't have all the facts. He probably should not have commented on it. However, Professor Gates, as he said, was a personal friend. I think he wants to have this discussion. This discussion is just too difficult to have in politics, and it's unfortunate. America should be. We put men on the moon. We can Google people. We've got Blackberries. But it's still very uncomfortable for us to talk about the issue of race. And we've got an African-American in the White House. And we can't talk about it in our churches. And I think that's sad.
All right, we can talk about it on America Tonight, but doesn't he have a point, J.C. Watts, in what he says, that truly it is one of those untouchable topics, certainly for a lot of venues and a lot of people. Politics, they both know, Ford and Watts, what they dealt with, and as they saw things unfold around them as well. And also talking about churches, how churches step aside from the issue of race. Do you think ever in our lifetimes, and he makes such a great point, you put a man on the moon, you can Google anyone you want, but yet you can't have this open discussion without name-calling. That's what it is, because you have to tiptoe around how you say things. Otherwise, you get labeled a racist, or you made the wrong comments, you spun it the wrong way, whatever it is. And I don't have the energy to do that. So whatever I say on this show is exactly what you get from me. There isn't any kind of spin involved in it, right? You can certainly chime in on that later on. Remember, keep the digits handy. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Even in your own communities, do you feel like you could say something if something was bothering you, whether you thought somebody was a racist or whether you thought you had friends who are African-American, Latino, whatever they are, and you feel like they've been done wrong, and yet everybody has to kind of work their way through this. It seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? Well, speaking of the whole beer summit thing, if you remember, Professor Gates was arrested on that disorderly conduct charge, seems so long ago, at his home, Cambridge home, right, after the cops responded to the emergency call from the neighbor who's gotten threats and been called a racist herself for making the 911 call about the possible burglary, right? By the way, Professor Gates apparently sent Lucia Whalen, her name is, sent her a dozen roses, and she wouldn't reveal what the card said, but when he had heard how she was being attacked, he felt so badly about it. He made his first public appearance, besides, of course, the photo op at the White House. He was at a book festival, and he brought it up and kind of joked about his arrest and, you know, said that a lot of things still haven't been resolved, meaning the whole racial profiling thing. And there's about 150 people who came out to see him. He was at Martha's Vineyard when he did this, and mostly apparently he was pretty lighthearted during the speech and even made fun of himself after somebody in the crowd told him that, screamed out that he admired his sense of humor, and he said something like he should have been funnier in the kitchen of his house back on July 16th. But he also said this, because, and remember, he didn't say because of Obama's comments, but once Obama opened that can of worms, of course, there was massive national debate, right? He also had to shut down his email. He had to change his cell phone number because he got death and bomb threats, including one, I guess, that said, "You should die. You're a racist." So how sad the fallout in all this for everyone, including the police, because they've been dealing with similar things. Everybody, I mean, this really lit a fuse. Everybody had an opinion on it, and some of the idiots came out of the woodwork to level threats at all the various people connected to this. So Beer Summit, Beer Gate, whatever you want to call it, is done. It's over with. It took 2 weeks, and what do we gain out of it? A different perspective, maybe. I said this last week. Maybe Gates and Crowley end up doing some work together, since they both in different ways have this issue that they deal with, one as a professor and one on the job in training future police officers in racial sensitivity, because that was one of the Sergeant Crowley things. He was so good at it, apparently, that his fellow officers thought he should be the guy to do it, and lo and behold, he gets in the middle of all of this controversy. Coming up next, there is controversy over texting. Controversy not just in the whole driving thing, because now we see how it's been ratcheted up with accidents when people aren't paying attention. It's just another thing to be a distraction. But also when people are out and they're eating dinner together, or they're at a luncheon or something else, they're paying attention and they're texting and not really paying attention to what's going on around them. So we're going to do that next here on ATN.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
She's an international speaker, and she's a modern-day Miss Manners. Susanna Theo joins us, and she founded Protocol and Etiquette Services back in the late 90s. So what a perfect person to help and educate all of you listening to America Tonight about, for example, texting and the wrong time to text. I've seen people texting in movie theaters, so of course you see the light, you know. I've seen people texting in church. I've seen people texting when people are speaking. And of course, the worst offense, I've seen people doing it in cars. And we know that new study just came out where you have 23 times greater chance to get into an accident. You just ratchet it up like the word I used in our last segment. When you get behind the wheel and you're trying to look down and do that thing with your thumbs, just so, so dangerous. And that takes us a completely different direction. Susanna, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so true, isn't it? Is it that we don't understand technology and this new, you know, what the etiquette line is? I mean, is there an etiquette line? I think there is, and I'm sure you have an opinion on it.
Yes. Well, we have to, of course, embrace technology. I mean, that's really the first part of, you know, any of this is that, you know, it's wonderful. You know, I myself am a BlackBerry. I have one. I use it. But I am never doing it in my car. I would never even think to do such a thing. But we really have to utilize our technology that we have, which are all wonderful things to help us communicate. But we need to do it with civility. And that's a lot of all the things that you were just mentioning, you know, that people are doing it in movie theaters or they're doing it during class time. That's huge. Text messaging, where students are text messaging each other and they're actually text messaging answers to tests to each other as well.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And especially, too, like I just find that the more formal events, I'm surprised by that. I mean, all of us, look, I text message, too. It happens to me all the time. But if I'm someplace where I shouldn't be texting or I feel like I'm not, I just put it away. I got to have a line somewhere in my own personal life, too. Otherwise, I'm constantly glued to that because I could be going back and forth with whoever, the assistant of a politician I'm trying to get on the show or somebody who wants me to speak somewhere or whatever it is. Whoever it is can wait. If we have to get in touch, I don't think an hour or whatever length of time is too much. I mean, do you think it's that because we have this technology, we feel like we have to instantly get in touch with somebody?
I think there's an element of that, but also just the element of excitement that it is something new, you know, it's something that you can do. But it's interesting what you said, that you do turn it off and you put it away. And
yeah,
that's really and truly what we all need to be doing. We need to remember that to put civility into our life, you know, that's one of the steps that we would need to take. It's just like having a cell phone. You know, you can't have the cell phone ringer go off in the middle of a meeting or a lecture or the symphony. I've been hearing about people text messaging at some of those events, you know, in addition to the ones that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I knew the one big chief when I used to work for CBS, and he'd have this great big powwow, and all the general managers of all the CBS radio stations would get together, and they'd have this big meeting. In fact, his name's Mel Karmazan, who went on later to run Sirius and is running Sirius, et cetera, XM. And what he told the people that were at this meeting is, if anybody's cell phone goes off, you're fired. No questions.
And
it's mostly,
you know,
it was mostly
amazing too. Really,
yeah,
amazing.
Mostly,
you know,
men.
We really need to respect the wishes of the person in charge when it's something
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
There to communicate, and you know, he wants to communicate with his team, make it successful, right?
Exactly. And what I was saying too is it was mostly men who were managers that were in part of these meetings. Not all. There were some women, mostly men. Do you think there's a gender thing here? Are women better at cutting off the texting thing, or that doesn't matter?
I have not noticed a gender relationship to this. I'm seeing everyone do this. And I have, you know, I'm really fortunate that I do get to go to other parts of the country and, you know, be in different arenas, and everyone is doing this. So
yeah.
I don't think there's a gender relationship. Maybe they will perform a study on that. You know, that would be maybe another study that might, you know, come in the future.
How bad is it to text when you're on a date?
Oh, I think it's horrible. And in fact, I've written about that. I have some articles out on that where I was witnessing this at a restaurant, and I was absolutely astonished that this is how the communication process was moving along rather than the verbal communication. They were text messaging back and forth. And who knows who else was involved with that, because they could have been text messaging to two or three different parties.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, speaking of technology, I thought I'd throw this out here, too. Is there also, when it comes to all the devices we have, is there any kind of Internet etiquette that people should learn that they just are really not observing right now?
Yes, actually, it's very interesting that you bring that up. One thing that, and I really noticed this with the different generations, you know, the Gen X, Gen Y, you know, I'm really noticing the ones who are doing this more. But when you are emailing, Internet technology is all, you know, we're emailing. It's quick. We can talk to anybody anywhere. It's wonderful. But when you are talking to someone, you really need to put it in the letter format. You know, it's just a proper format. Dear so-and-so, the body of the letter, you know, type in there what you need to say. And, you know, some sort of closing, kind regards, but you need to spell check it as well. And I see this all the time. And I notice that the younger part of the population, they do not ever use a greeting. You know, the beginning of your formatting of the letter, they never say dear so-and-so. They just blur, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they don't even sign it. So if you're not familiar with the person's email address, you're not going to really know who that email might be coming from.
Yeah, no kidding. I've noticed that too. You know, it's there's something about it with not spell checking and the small I's and the words that are so butchered and the fragmented sentences. I mean, if you're going back and forth with your buddy, different thing. But now, so many jobs you apply through the internet, and I got to think, in some companies that you could be, you could have a great degree, you could probably be perfect for the job, but one mistake like that and not putting the greeting and not signing it and all that sort of stuff, I would have to think, Susanna, don't you, that would knock some people out of contention?
Yes, and also really paying attention to know if it is grammatically correct, because spell check doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of like the text messaging issue as well. And this comes up all the time. with the younger population when I'm out doing lectures, you know, for different groups of the population. But the grammar is really, really just fading away, because if you know, text messaging is all abbreviated. And that's filling into the emails, you know, that goes into the emails. So you have to be really careful, and especially with the job and, you know, the situation that we have in our country right now, and actually internationally, you know, we have to be really clear that we're going to, you know, write our emails in letter format, make sure they're grammatically correct, spell check it, you know, and present ourselves with the greatest amount of success.
Oh, absolutely. Have somebody else look at it, all that kind of stuff. That makes sense to me. We only have like a minute and a half left, but an interesting article in Time this week. There was a guy who wrote the article talking about how he wasn't good at cursive because he's, you know, 26 years old and it's all about the computer. So we're losing the art of writing letters too.
Yeah, yes, we are. And it's necessary. We need to follow all, you know, follow up with thank you notes to people. And then they must be handwritten. Email thank you notes are not acceptable.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yes, we're losing. Yes, yes.
I know. I used to love getting those letters, too, from people. My mother still, she has beautiful handwriting. She'll write me a note, and I'll be like, I got a handwritten note. It's not an email. But only my mother does that. It's very rare, anyone else.
Susanna Theo. All do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Susanna Theo, thanks so much for popping on ATM. We know it's late for you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, and again, she's with she founded this protocol and etiquette service back in the 90s, as I mentioned before. So that's what she does. Is she's the Miss Manners, and she tries to help people get it together so they can dress for success and send the thank you notes they're supposed to send, and be careful when they're on the internet, as we were just talking about that. And that's true. That I think it was this week's Time where I read that story, and I thought, oh, that's so sad, but it's so true. I have to confess, I have incredible penmanship when I print, when I write, and I had cursive in school, and when I write, it's okay, but it's not as good. My printing is perfect. I mean, just beautiful, but my cursive, not as good. I think also our technical director, Matt Johnson, has that in common with me. So it's always about the printing. People ask me to print things for them, but I can't do the cursive thing as well. I've got that signature like a doctor. Hang with us coming up, Odds and Ends. What happened over the weekend? We'll rewind for you.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944.
1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Speaking of jive talking, new taxes coming your way soon. Middle class, raise your hand if you're in the middle class. So I see lots of hands going up around America. Everybody, Kate Delaney with the bad news here on America Tonight. As I said, we're going to lighten the load a little bit later. But, you know, you look at where we are with this deficit, $1.8 trillion. At least that's what's forecast for next year. So what are you going to do to put the brakes on? Well, the answer is, when you get to that point, of course, more taxes. So, you look at it this way. There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee they won't go up. And every politician to get elected, we know this, lots of them anyway, promised the no tax thing. That was one of the things that Obama ran on. And I can just imagine the field day the GOP will have with this administration if the taxes do go up, because they can just rerun spots with him in it all day long. And the Treasury Secretary was on a Sunday show, and you'll hear this later, but Larry Summers was on. He was on Meet the Press, and he's the National Economic Council Director, as I mentioned before. And really, they both kind of put out a different spin on taxes and stimuluses and all that sort of stuff. So they're not, neither one of them was ruling out that there would be a tax hike, because how are you going to lower this federal deficit? It has to come from somewhere. And what about this overhaul of health care, this 1,000 pages that's flying around D.C.? And what we'll get, I'm sure, in the near future is another televised primetime speech talking about the economy and wanting it to grow and understanding how can you have the economy grow if you don't bring the deficits down. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But this will take us through, you know, healthcare reform. I can already see it. Even on Friday, the government released a report that is now saying, although no one's really echoing this, but on paper anyway, the report is saying that this is the worst recession in the U.S. since World War II, but it appears on the verge of ending. So when is this end coming? When is this end going to happen? For the people that are unemployed, like in Michigan, where it's, what, 15%? It's crazy. And really, let's face it, in the nation, it's 9.5% pretty much over 10 because you have to talk about underemployed. I mean, there's people that are not making it. They're working minimum wage jobs. And half of them have degrees because they have to. They have to come up with some other way. And whether they had unemployment, it ran out. That's the other thing that's happening and that people are talking about. So anyway, for odds and ends and shooting the bull as a re-rack of what happened last week, a lot of conversation was over the cost of health care and how much we'd have to pay for it. And part of the conversation is taxes again. And how do we ward off the taxes? It's not really possible if you think about it. Even if the economy is starting to grow in the current quarter and there's this recovery, at our best guess, I don't think it is, honestly, I don't think it's possible for taxes not to be raised with the amount of the deficit. So, I mean, here's the thing. It's, you know, it's not a doom and gloom scenario every single day of our lives, because I hope that you're not in the bunker and you're thinking that, right? That's all conspiracy theory all the time. You can't live your life at least with somewhat of a glass is half full perspective. But, you know, I'm not against paying taxes, but I am against having to pay my taxes to this government that constantly blows our money. You know, we have this deficit and all these problems because of the waste of the do-re-mi, right? Why don't we go to the offshore accounts and all the crooked idiots that put us partially in this position? Why don't we take their money? Why don't we kick it back retro and get some of the bucks from them, right? That's the problem I have. We have to pay taxes. Yes, I get it. But do we have to keep throwing taxes at bad, bad projects and things that don't grow anything? And, you know, it's going to be taxes probably across the board is what I think. So I think both Summers and I think Geithner, I think when you look at both of them and you look at economic policy and you look at the collapse of the financial industry, neither one of them instills a good bit of faith in what I think is the direction we need to go to in this country. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of an easier way to make this turnaround. And I think what it is what I suggested. Go after the fat cats who blew it, who have these accounts where they ripped off the money. I mean, in the same breath, I support capitalism, but not for the bad guys that we give the money. It's like they take our money and we hand them another sack of money. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, also over the weekend, McCain came out with this bombshell that he's kind of in a very deep, deep hole without Hispanic voters, and that the GOP is in that same hole because, let's face it, when you look at the census and you look at the numbers, you have to know what your constituency is made up of and who the future voters are. So as I say all the time, it's about getting reelected. Once you're elected, it's about getting reelected because the people around you, they don't want to lose their jobs either. So here's what the problem is. You have to bring Hispanic voters into the fold, into whatever it is, whatever state you represent. They've got to like you. They've got to vote for you. And one of the things coming up, of course, is Sonia Sotomayor and the vote over, you know, whether or not she becomes the next Supreme, which I already said this. I mean, come on, let's face it. There's just no way that this gets shot down. I can't see it. But there are a couple of senators that are struggling with what they should do because they're not necessarily, some of them saying it out loud, but they're struggling with what they should do because they don't want to vote for her, but yet they're afraid not to simply based on the fact that they're vulnerable. They need to be able to appeal to a broad base to get elected. And, of course, that's one of the things that John McCain has talked about. In fact, he's talked about trying to put together a voting coalition broad enough, as he knows, because he was an elected president, to do something about some of the shortcomings and the misfirings of the Republican party, and he talked about that as well, wrapping up the week on the Sunday circuit. And he talked about what a dire situation it is unless there's more that can be done to bring those Hispanic voters into the ranks of the GOP. In fact, recruiting and electing Hispanics so that there's representation. And, of course, he was one of the guys in talking about immigration reform, which I didn't agree with his stand on this, but he did tackle it. And, you know, there was thought that he could lose Arizona in part because, you know, the Hispanics had left the GOP in massive amounts. And, of course, they have. So there is electoral ramifications about that. And so this goes into the whole thing with the Sotomayor vote. But like I said, it's such a layup that a grandstand on that doesn't make sense. All right, the other thing is coming up this week, people are going to deal with this, and we've talked about it on this show, going back to that first part that I was talking about as far as Obama's henchmen and not saying that, you know, hey, taxes could be raised. Well, over the next couple of months, those people who are unemployed that I was mentioning, and that's like 1.5 million jobless Americans, their unemployment insurance benefits are going to be up. And will they get another extension? Will there be another extension? You have tens of thousands that have used up the benefits. And that number is going to be inflated a little bit more, too, by the end of the year if you look at some of the national projections for this, okay? So now a lot of people are burning up the phone lines to Congress to pass another extension this fall. That would mean, what, 13 weeks of coverage? Especially in states with high unemployment. I threw out Michigan before, over 15%. The national unemployment rate is almost 10%. So even if we see that ease up, like the projections that things this upcoming quarter are going to start to bounce back a little bit, you're still going to have job problems, and they're still going to be scarce. And it's going to be hard to come by those jobs. You have so many people applying for almost anything that gets thrown there. It's crazy. It's great for the employer, because they have their pick of the litter. They get people that are overqualified, and they can underpay them. Let's be honest about it, right? So if they don't get help, these critical benefits, they're going to have nothing left, and that's got to make it harder as you're trying to find a job. So there are a lot of people pushing and hoping and praying that this doesn't happen to them. But, again, we say the same thing. Where does the money come from? Where does the money come from? You know, it's like you look at Ohio, unemployment there, over 11%. And when you're talking about benefits for most people, let's be honest about it. How much is it a week? $300 a week, a little bit less than that in a lot of cases. And this means you have kids, it means groceries, it means gas to just do the very essential things. Really, half the time not to pay all the bills that you have to pay. And sometimes that unemployment is a lot less. So here's the question. Should those benefits be extended? What do you think, America? Because these are tough times, right? So you got employers who, what, pay into a state insurance fund. You have workers whose jobs are gone. They get benefits for up to 26 weeks. But when you have a recession, you get that extended coverage for maybe extra 13, maybe 20. In 2008, there was 33 extra weeks of benefits. What do you want to see Congress do with this? You know, people can get benefits for up to 79 weeks in 24 states and from 46 weeks to 72 weeks in others. It's just a coin flip of where you live. 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a
stop to identity theft, visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette, and even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Some kind of weather that's going on in Minneapolis. Of course, the new home of America Tonight at the incredibly plush studios of the Genesis Communications Network. Our boys are working hard for you to keep this show going despite everything that's raining down upon them at the major studio facilities. And a lot of you can relate to funky weather. I say this all the time. What is it? The common denominator between all of us. It's that casual conversation with the stranger, because we can relate when we have horrible snow and blizzards, whether it's mudslides, rains, lightning, whatever it is, we can all relate to what you go through to get to wherever it is you're going. Thanks to Mother Nature, maybe slipping and sliding a little bit. So let's check in with our lead meteorologist in Minneapolis, at least for this network. He's incredibly not just so talented as far as the technical areas of America Tonight, but he also is kind of a little weatherman up there. So let's check in with our Matt Johnson. Matt, how does it look in Minneapolis?
Not too good, and it's funny you should say that because I actually did get my start in radio doing weather reports for a little old station in Hastings, Minnesota. No lie.
So you know all about barometric pressure and clouds.
I don't know about that. I know how to read about it, though.
Yeah, people don't realize. Some people are meteorologists, and they're really into it. And other people that you see on the tube, they just get the weather gig. And like you said, you read it.
Right.
That's what you do. That's so funny. I have a funny Kate weather story for people listening in Nebraska. I worked in a place called Kearney, Nebraska when I first got out of school. I was there for like 8 months. The people were fabulous, salt of the earth, wonderful Midwest people. And they threw me into the weather a couple times. I was an anchor, but the weather guy was out, and he was a famous longtime weather guy, but he was out. He was sick or something, and I knew how to work the computer, so I drew the short straw. And I'd never done weather before. So they put you over. For people who don't know, we'll tell you about the magic of television. There's just this blank screen in front of you, and the map is there, but it's like in your head, and it's on the camera sort of in front of you. But you're in a key. It's called a chroma key. And you're pointing to where, you know, wherever it is that you're talking about. So I was in Nebraska. So picture the map of the United States in your head. And I had lived all over the place, but primarily in the East and, you know, in the upper Midwest and in California and Western states and whatever. I have been to all those places in my life. So I'm looking at the map. And Kansas, you got to admit, Kansas and Nebraska, a little bit shaped, a little bit alike. So I'm like pointing to those places and talking about them. And then, because I have time to kill, I start going to the East Coast. So one of the farmers called up, and he said, I'm coming down there, and I'm giving you a geography lesson so you know the difference between Kansas and Nebraska. Because apparently I was pointing to the wrong one when I was doing the weather. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? It looked the same. Had the same kind of shape. I mean, give me a break. Hey, speaking of...
You need to hang out with Miss South Carolina more often.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, build my chops up. Speaking of Kansas, the people in Kansas can't be too happy about some of the things that have started to be discussed about Leavenworth. One of the areas, and this really could be it, one of the locations that Obama's looking at for the Gitmo, you know, and closing down Gitmo and moving the detainees, is this state maximum security prison, right, in Michigan, but also the military penitentiary at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas to be the place that can hold the folks from the island that so many don't want. So can you imagine they want to create this sort of courtroom in a prison complex, and you would house the suspected terrorists. So that would combine military and civilian detention, basically, at this single maximum security prison anyway, right? And several U.S. officials say that this is definitely where this could end up being the place. I mean, this could end up being a place, either Michigan and also the military pen at Fort Leavenworth. And you look at how guarded they are. So if you're talking about 229 suspected Al-Qaeda guys and Taliban and foreign fighters that you have at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, they feel as though, they being the administration, this is the best place to plunk them. So if they are close to figuring, because they got to figure this out, right? January 2010, that's what the order is, to comply by then. So they've got to figure out where it's going to happen. They got to start making it happen to get all these two places ready, if it was going to be the two places. But I don't know. Does this seem like the right thing to do? You're talking about putting these terror suspects on American soil. And you have the FBI director, to drudge that up again. You have the FBI director, Robert Mueller, saying that, you know, look, it's the whole radicalization thing. Even if it is a max facility, it is so bloody dangerous to do it. So you're bringing terrorists into the United States, even though there's massive opposition, certainly by many American people. I'll raise my hand. I'm one of them. I'm massively skeptical about this. And Congress, too. Imagine the backlash. I'm sure there's going to be backlash as a result of this. So what's been happening is, for months, and we knew this was happening. I mean, we knew this was being discussed. We've talked about it before. But you've got government lawyers and senior folks at the Pentagon, the Justice Department's involved, and they're struggling with figuring out how they're going to close Guantanamo. How are they going to shut it down? Because they have to have a place to move the prisoners. I mean, even now, Congress has blocked $80 million that was supposed to be there to bring the detainees to the United States. So, you know, how do you make these? And here's the deal, and for once I agree with some of the eggheads in Congress. You know, they want the administration to say how they're going to make the moves without putting us at risk. Let's see the blueprints. We're hearing about everything else. Why can't we hear about this? And supposedly, again, transparency. So let's see it, baby. Show me how you're going to do this. How are you going to operate this hybrid prison system jointly by the Justice Department, the military, and the Department of Homeland Security? And now we have, what, a year and a half for that deadline? Yeah, that's not a lot of time. The clock is ticking. Courtney in Kentucky, you have the floor. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I know it's going to be like a supermax facility, but I was wondering what kind of security they're going to put in there for our safety. Cause
yeah.
I mean, putting them on our land would put was more like a more of a bullseye.
Yeah, I think that's what I think. I think it's more a bullseye by moving them to the United States is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's my concern. That's a lot of people's concern. I don't care. You can tell me Supermax prison. You can talk about the guards and everything else. And I agree with the FBI director and his call on even at a Supermax facility, still what does that do to the other prisoners? So that's dangerous, too. How many people are going to become radicalized while they're in prison? Who knows what happens there? But more importantly, like you say, why do we need that in our country when you have these suspected Al-Qaeda, Taliban links? You know, these aren't just guys who broke the law who might have been involved. I mean, four of them flat out had something to do with what happened on 9/11. I mean, this is... It's just a matter of putting all the pieces together. There's no way you can tell me Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, certainly. Absolutely. He was the major domo. So I'm concerned. I agree, Courtney. I think they shouldn't do it. I mean, what's the answer? Put him around on a floating barge and let him just go round and round.
Yes, I agree. It's just a very scary thought. I mean, what America's coming to. And I appreciate the time.
All right, Courtney. I agree. It's a scary thought. To, I think, have them on our soil. I mean, that's not even fear-mongering. That's just listening to what so many others have said. People in the law enforcement industry, guards, etc. Listen to what the guards went through at Guantanamo. Not only, of course, they're hated being there in Cuba, but just what they go through with the prisoners themselves day in and day out. I saw many pieces on that, not exaggerated, just free-flowing, saying, look, every day is we don't know what's going to happen. And imagine having to deal with that on our soil. And in the words of Courtney, what kind of a bullseye does that put on the U.S. for others? Yeah. You can flip me an email on any of the things we talked about in this last hour of America Tonight at americatonight.net.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?